That's it!
Yep, Jill Show, Starcom Radio Network. As I've been mentioning all day in our ongoing coverage in the aftermath of the historic flooding in Louisiana, we have more stories from the front line that are quite inspiring. Our guest is Melinda Walsh. Hi, Melinda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ed. Happy to be here, and I appreciate your coverage of what's going on down here.
I'll tell you that we're getting better in one area of the media. Sometimes the media can be almost the problem instead of the story that it's covering. But on this, I think we do our best when we bring what people actually experience directly to the rest of the country. And I so look forward to hearing some of the stories that come from your experience. And I think I know one of them right from the get-go. I believe that you have actually rescued your 85-year-old mother in a borrowed boat.
Yes.
Do tell.
Yeah, I will tell you, Ed, that that was not what my husband and I thought we were going to do the morning of Saturday, August 13th. We woke up and said, hey, let's go to the farmer's market. And then I got a call from my mom, who said, Melinda, I think you need to come get me. The water's at the sidewalk.
Oof.
And I heard the panic for the first time in my mom's voice, Ed. She's 85, but she's got it together, and she doesn't panic easily. And so I looked at my husband and said, we've got to get in the truck and go get her. And by the time that we were able to get her to her, it was about an hour later. The traffic had started to build up on the interstate heading east from Baton Rouge, where I live, to Denham Springs. And our first exit, the normal exit that we would take, which is the main road north into Denham Springs, was already completely underwater by about 2 feet. There were vehicles that were already started to flood, and so we had to work our way around to try to get to my mom's neighborhood. Now, this is, if you can imagine, I had friends who were calling me and texting me, hey, Melinda, can we help? We're out here. Do you need us? And it's like, absolutely. And so it was an intense moment, Ed, I really have to tell you. And so we finally made it to where my mother's neighborhood is. She lives on a single street, a cul-de-sac, with about 24 houses on it. And by the time we got there, the water was waist deep in the road.
Wow. See, this is what I think people don't understand about flooding, right? If you've never been in a situation like that, they get the feeling there's going to be lots of warning and that there are no surprises because it looks like it would be just a gradual buildup, and that's not true.
No, particularly in this case, we discovered afterwards that there was what could be, have been considered a tropical depression, a low-pressure system that created rainfall for about 3 days that just parked itself over Baton Rouge and rotated slowly. And so over the course of about 3 days, as much as 31 inches of rain fell in this area, which equated to about 4 trillion gallons of water, which, if you can imagine, 6 million Olympic-sized pools.
It's staggering. That really staggers the imagination. Your story of your mom, you know, I get that. There are people who always impress us, even though we think maybe they're a little bit frail or they're a little bit delicate, and then they come up with all of this strength and cool and calm, and that's terrific. First of all, what is it like to borrow a boat in a situation like that? How do you know who to ask, and how do you know they don't need it? How did the boat get borrowed?
It's a surreal experience, Ed. When we got to where my mother's neighborhood was, there were a number of people. There were probably a couple of hundred people out in the road already. And one of the wonderful things about Louisiana is we have something called the Cajun Navy. Louisiana is a big hunting and fishing state. There's a lot of waterways here, so a lot of people have these little aluminum flat-bottom boats that we call bateaux. And there were already a line of people who had donated their boat to come rescue strangers.
Wow.
And so I just stood knee-deep in water, clutching my cell phone. I was so afraid I was going to drop it.
Right.
And just kept asking people, hey, look, my mom's around the corner. Can you go get her? Hey, look, be glad to. I've got to go rescue my kids. Hey, not a problem. So about the, I just kept asking people, and about the eighth person I asked, they said, sure, we'll go get her. Get in the boat.
Jump in.
Just jump in. And I had no idea who this person was. My husband was with me. And so as we're going down, heading down my mother's street, the water is already waist deep, and he said, where is your mother's house? And I told him, and he looks at me and he goes, oh, that's close to Miss B's house. And I looked at him, I said, we're going to Miss B's house.
Oh,
and he looked back at me and goes, Melinda? And I went, who are you? And it was someone that I had known from years ago. And he went to my mother's church. So I can't tell you how glad I was that when we paddled the boat up to the back door of the house, there was already 2 feet of water outside the house and about a foot and a half inside. My mom was able to see some friendly faces other than me and my husband.
Isn't that remarkable? You know, we live in a society, right, that is so varied, and there's so many things that really are a wide, wide span of involvement. And then in the middle of all of that, there you are with someone that not only knows you, but knows your mom. It really is heartening to think that community can still withstand this crazy digital computer-driven world with all the cell phones and smartphones. Still, community and people who know one another can make the biggest difference.
You know, that is so well said, Ed, and we have been so grateful for that in the weeks since the flood. The community has come together like nothing we have ever seen. I have met so many people from around the country who stopped what they were doing and took the time to get supplies here and come and donate their time, their muscles, their resources. About 3 days after the water went down, we were able to go back in Mom's house. And I have to tell you, that was a pretty, gosh, emotional feeling, opening that back door and wondering what we were going to find.
Right.
And if you've never been in a flood, it's kind of one way to get a sense of it is to look around the room where you are now and take a look at the doorknob, any door handle, and picture where the deadbolt normally is.
Right.
And picture that room full of water up to where the deadbolt is.
Wow.
And you'll get a sense of what gets lost in a flood. And sadly, we in Louisiana learned from what happened post-Katrina in 2005 when New Orleans flooded. We knew that we had to get everything out of that house, whether it was precious or whether it was trash, and out onto the curb so that we could strip the sheetrock out and pull the insulation down from the walls before it started to mold. Yeah.
You know, people also probably don't realize that water is not exactly benign, right? That water is not just in volume, but also what the water is can be a problem for people, right?
Yes, it can. Think about it. There were 140,000 buildings affected in the area where my mother lives. And each of those buildings basically had a car or a vehicle with it. And so when the water comes into an engine, what it does is it forces the fluids out of that engine. So you get oil, you get antifreeze, you get all kinds of things. And in my mom's house, she had a china cabinet that had a kerosene lantern, and all the water was, all the kerosene was pushed out of that lantern. And so when we're digging through what's left, we were going, oh my gosh, this is nasty stuff. So you load up with masks and boots and rubber gloves and just do the best you can.
Your story is beginning with a family member and with neighbors that knew you as well as your mom. What did you witness that was also inspiring to you?
Oh my gosh, just the caring of people to come and help. One day, we had a team of volunteers who were helping take the stuff out of Mom's house that was ruined and drag it out to the curb. Some stranger shows up with a stack of lunches, barbecue, chicken that was delicious. We love our good food down here in Louisiana, whether it's a disaster or not. And just said, here's some food for y'all. We saw y'all working. There was a Lions Club from La Place, Louisiana, which is right outside of New Orleans, that set up a tent at the end of my mother's road and fed us all for free for 3 days.
Extraordinary.
I mean, it was just amazing. I have a nephew. I had actually had 17 family members affected, everyone in my immediate family, not just my mom. And my nephew is an elite athlete. He runs in those, you know, the obstacle races like Spartans and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so he put out the call to the fitness community. And on day four, we had a bunch of obstacle racers show up at the house. And the one who sticks with me was this young woman, probably in her mid-30s, who was about as fit as it is possible to be tiny. She was about 5 feet tall and looked like she could bench press me. And I just thanked her for helping, you know, pull out soggy mattresses and broken furniture. And she says, "Oh, Melinda, don't worry about it. You know, us Spartan racers, we pick up heavy things and run with them for fun."
Isn't that great? That's you'd never know that unless that circumstance had occurred. Now, it is hard for some people to get their mind around this, but there can be some funny and humorous moments in the middle of recovering from a tragedy, right?
Yes, and I tell you, Ed, thank you for bringing that up, because one of the things that we feel is very healing is to laugh about things and to make light of things, and it just helps balance out, you know, what's going on. One of my favorite lines was a guy with his own boat pulled up to someone who clearly needed rescuing and said, "Hi, I'm your Cajun Uber. I'm here to pick you up."
That's beautiful.
And so we loved that. There was another team from, I believe it was Ohio. This was a group of Amish men who came to Louisiana to help tear out the houses and to rebuild what they could. And down here in Mardi Gras, the organizations that put on the Mardi Gras parades are called CREWE, K-R-E-W-E. And so this group of Amish men were dubbed the Crew of Samuels, because four out of the eight of them were named Samuel. So it's just a way of saying, "Hey, come down here. We're going to make you one of us. We'll have you saying y'all before too long."
Indeed, indeed. Now, the other thing that people always want to know, and again, we have a national audience, and some of them have only seen any of this through the eyes of watching television and not by firsthand account. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that people can do to help from no matter where they are, whether it's across the state, across the country, even around the world, as they're hearing this and they'd like to contribute? Give them a couple of suggestions.
Okay. One of my favorite organizations here in Baton Rouge, you can donate money, you can donate gift cards. One of the things that I found very kind was that some of my Facebook friends who lived in other parts of the countries sent my mom like a Walmart gift card or a Home Depot or Lowe's built gift card, because you have to rebuild after that. So what I would suggest is look through your social network and see if you know an individual who might have been affected, and send them something. Take the time to get their address and send them a little something, even if it's a card. I will tell you, Ed, that the people from around the country who took the time to text, send a message, send a card that said, "Hey, Melinda, I'm thinking of you. Hope everything is okay." You might feel like you're not doing anything, but when you're standing knee-deep in water wondering how the heck you're going to get your mom out of her flooded house, having the sense that other people are thinking of you is a great big motivator. There's also another organization here in town that's a favorite of mine. It's Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge, and I have their website. It's ccdiobr.org, Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge. They are a wonderful organization that works year-round to help people that aren't always in a position to help themselves. I know the executive director, and he's a straight-up guy.
Melinda, I have to say, I'm so impressed. I'm just so impressed because we've done literally dozens of interviews in the aftermath of this horrible disaster, and yeah. yours today is the most optimistic, the most, I would say, sunshine that we've seen in contrasted with the dark clouds of some of the mechanics. The other day, we had on the Humane Society of Louisiana, and they mm-hmm. were really describing some difficult chores in terms of tracking down cattle and horses and companion animals and even looking out for wildlife. You've given us yet another dimension of understanding, and you've shared some inspiration with us that I think you've done a real public service today on two levels. A, the mechanics of it, but B, what goes on inside the hearts of people who are affected and the people who are moved to help out.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's just a pleasure to be able to share this with you and your listeners. And there really is a silver lining in all of this. We have learned that no matter what has gone on around us, there are always things to be grateful for. And when it comes down to it, the people and the relationships that we have in our lives are the things that mean the most of us, most of all to us. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on. I'd love to keep checking in with you so you
sure.
can continue to share stories with us. And I think you have also shared a very important point. Even when circumstances are dark and adverse, there's always a reason to count your blessings.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Melissa. It's a real pleasure. I have your website here, melindawalsh.com, if people would like to follow up with you. And you can be sure that we will follow up with you and have you back on the show.
Lovely. Thank you, Ed.
You bet. Have a great weekend. Melinda Walsh on The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network.